Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind.
Welcome back. 17 Till, thank you for hanging out with me. Thanks for helping me celebrate 14 years of the Small Business Advocate Show, 12 years of the Small Business Advocate Newsletter. I hope you subscribe to that, by the way, and 14 years of our news of our website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for using that to your advantage. We got lots of stuff there that will help you. I hope you'll use it, and don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter. Take the poll question. We ask a different question every week. We'll know what you think, and on, whatever you got on your mind, on your on under the small business sun, whatever's happening to you, challenge your opportunity. We got something you can use there at our website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Chuck Cadlick is our guest. Charles W. Cadlick is the author of Dow 100,000 Fact or Fiction. He's the member of the Economic Advisory Board of the American Principles Project, the founder of the Community of Liberty. We're talking about markets, Chuck, and I've said for a long time that markets are that free market capitalism is far from perfect. In fact, it can be pretty ugly sometimes. But it is, if left alone by governments, meaning not, I'm not talking about no regulation or no government oversight at all, but if basically left alone, the marketplace will be self-cleaning, won't it? It'll cleanse itself, won't it?
Yeah, because customers are in charge in the markets, not government and not the producer. You know, in the socialism, producers are in charge, the government's in charge. So think of it like this. In a great sport, let's talk about football, you need rules, right? there's rules both you know, how you get four downs to make 10 yards, and if you don't, you have to give the ball to the other team. Mm-hmm. And there's certain things you can't do. You can't tackle the receiver before he catches the ball. That makes, right. Without those rules, the game wouldn't exist. But imagine if the officials were also playing the game. Right. In other words, government can set the rules. That's a judicial system. It's absolutely vital to free markets. Property rights don't exist without a judicial system. Well, they do, but in a modern world.
And an example of where government got involved, folks, was, for example, in the bailout of General Motors.
And Chrysler.
But the reason I use the word...
And how about all the green energy?
Exactly.
All the green energy
but
stuff
the reason
that's
I use, the reason I use General Motors because a couple of years ago, the president of the United States fired the CEO of GM.
That's right. It'd be like an official firing a quarterback.
Is there ever been a precedent for that, Chuck, in our lifetime?
No, because the government never assumed it had that kind of power.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
No, I mean, that's the problem when... You know, there's an old saying, those who have the money make the rules. Well, the government now controls 40% of the GDP directly through taxes, this is federal, state, and local government, and another 12% of the GDP, $1.7 trillion, through regulation. So the government now controls more than half of our economy. That means more than half of our lives.
And that means that manifests in a condition where markets are not able to flourish. So look around you, folks. Look what the economy is doing. It's not flourishing. It's not tanking. But I think that's largely because of small business owners. But it's not flourishing. And so why, Chuck, is America? Why are there people in America who are hell bent for leather to turn America into Europe when we look at Europe and see that what these people want to turn us into is an abject failure and collapsing in front of our very eyes?
That's a huge question, but one part of the answer clearly is the educational system of the United States is been teaching them that this is the way to justice, to some form of social justice, ignoring completely the cost, the real true human cost of these systems. I mean, it's no accident that the worst environmental disasters in the world do not occur where there are free markets. They occurred under Russian communism.
Right.
The disasters in Eastern Europe under government control were mind-boggling, beyond our comprehension. So, I mean, the whole system is based on a utopian view that is incoherent with human nature. And because of that, it creates more poverty, more misery than free markets. By contrast, if you look what's happened in South Asia, with just an increase in the level of economic freedom, it's astounding. I mean, hundreds of millions of people have been lifted out of poverty,
right?
Because the government has lowered tax rates and put in place reasonable regulations, the rule of law, and free trade.
But Chuck, right?
Those things begin, more prosperity shows up.
And another advantage is that you can't have those things successfully. All that you just described, you can't have those things without the underpinning of liberty.
In many ways, they're constitutive of liberty.
That's right. And my point is,
liberty without property rights is meaningless, because if the government owns your house and it can tell you to leave it, it's just like they could fire the CEO of GM.
Right.
Then you have no liberty. If you don't own your output, if you don't own the product of your labor, if a small business person doesn't control their business and doesn't get to enjoy the fruits of their labor and their creativity, then there is no small business.
And the point that I want to make is
poverty.
Socialism does not create liberty. It creates the opposite. Free markets create liberty. It not only manufactures goods and services and cleans itself, it manufactures liberty. And that is a fundamental human desire, is to be free. Chuck, give us your website, please.
Communityofliberty.org.
Check it out.
Go ahead. And I'm a columnist. I write a weekly column for Forbes.com. You can find it.
Absolutely. Yeah, you need to find his columns are always well commented on, by the way. Tintel, stay with us. He's an advisor to Herman Cain, Chuck is. We come back, I'm going to ask him, what were you thinking?
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.